We're here with Senator John McCain. Now, John, in this next section, we're going to talk about worldview. And I actually invited a couple hundred thousand people, my personal friends, to send me their questions. And these are heartland questions that came in from all over America. And no matter how you answer them, somebody's not going to like it. Because we have many more worldviews, obviously, in America. But let's walk through these minefields together. First, you've made no doubt about the fact that you are a Christian. You publicly say you're a follower of Christ. What does that mean to you, and how does faith work out in your life on a daily basis? What does it mean to you?
It means I'm saved and forgiven. And we're talking about the world. Our faith encompasses not just the United States of America, but the world. Can I tell you another story real quick?
Sure.
The Vietnamese kept us in prison in conditions of solitary confinement or two or three to a cell. They did that because they knew they could break down our resistance. One of the techniques that they used to get information was to take ropes and tie them around your biceps, pull your biceps behind you, loop the rope around your head, pull your head down between your knees, and leave you in that position. You can imagine it's very uncomfortable. One night I was being punished in that fashion. All of a sudden, the door of the cell opened and a guard came in, a guy who was just what we called a gun guard. He just walked around the camp with a gun on his shoulder. He went like this, and then he loosened the ropes. He came back about 4 hours later. We tightened them up again and left. The following Christmas, because it was Christmas Day, we were allowed to stand outside of our cell for a few minutes. In those days, we were not allowed to see or communicate with each other, although we certainly did. And I was standing outside for my few minutes outside of my cell. He came walking up. He stood there for a minute, and with his sandal on the dirt in the courtyard, he drew a cross. And he stood there, and a minute later, he rubbed it out and walked away. For a minute there was just two Christians worshiping together. I'll never forget that moment. So every day.
All right, let's go into the tough ones. I said that was just a gimme. Let's deal with abortion. As a pastor, have to deal with this all the time, every different angle, every different pain, all the decisions and all of that. 40 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. Some people who believe that life begins at conception would say that's a holocaust for many people. What point is a baby entitled to human rights?
At the moment of conception. I have a 25-year pro-life record in the Congress, in the Senate, and as President of the United States, I will be a pro-life president, and this presidency will have pro-life policies. That's my commitment. That's my commitment to you.
Okay, we don't have to go longer on that one. Define marriage.
Union. A union between man and woman, between one man and one woman. That's my definition of marriage. Are we going to get back to the importance of Supreme Court justices, or should I mention
it? We will get to that.
Okay, all right. Okay. When we speak of the issue of the rights of the unborn, we need to talk about judges.
Well, let me ask you a question related to that. We've got a bill right here in California, Proposition 8, that's going on because the court overturned this definition of marriage. Was the Supreme Court of California wrong?
I believe they were wrong, and I strongly support preserving the unique status of marriage between man and woman. And I'm a Federalist. I believe in that states should make those decisions. In my state, I hope we will make that decision. In other states, they have. to recognize the unique status of marriage between man and woman. And that means, that doesn't mean that people can't enter into legal agreements. That doesn't mean that that they don't have the rights of all citizens. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I am saying that we should preserve the unique status of marriage between one man and one woman. And if a federal court decided that my state of Arizona had to observe what the state of Massachusetts decided, then I would favor a constitutional amendment. Until then, I believe the state should make the decisions within their own states.
Okay. All right. Another issue is stem cells. Now, we've had this scientific breakthrough of, you know, creating pluripotent stem cells through adult stem cells.
Yes.
So would you favor or oppose the federal funding of embryonic stem cell research since we have this other breakthrough?
For those of us in the pro-life community, this has been a great struggle and a terrible dilemma, because we're also taught other obligations that we have as well. I've come down on the side of stem cell research, but I am wildly optimistic that skin cell research, which is coming more and more into focus and practicability, will make this debate an academic one.
All right. How about the issue of evil? I asked this of your rival in the previous thing. Does evil exist? And if so, should we ignore it, negotiate with it, contain it, or defeat it?
Defeat it. A couple of points. One, if I'm president of the United States, my friends, if I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. I will do that, and I know how to do it. I will get that done. No one should be allowed to take thousands of innocent American lives. Of course, evil must be defeated. My friends, we are facing the transcendent challenge of the 21st century, radical Islamic extremism. Not long ago in Baghdad, Al-Qaeda took two young women who were mentally disabled and put suicide vests on them, sent them into a marketplace, and by remote control detonated those suicide vests. If that isn't evil, you have to tell me what is. Mm-hmm. And we're going to defeat this evil. And the central battleground, according to David Petraeus and Osama bin Laden, is Baghdad, Mosul, Basra, and Iraq. And we are winning and we are succeeding, and our troops will come home with honor and with victory and not in defeat. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. And we face this threat throughout the world. It's not just in Iraq. It's not just in Afghanistan. Our intelligence people tell us Al-Qaeda continues to try to establish cells here in the United States of America. My friends, we must face this challenge. We can face this challenge, and we must totally defeat it. And we're in a long struggle. But when I'm around the young men and women who are serving this nation in uniform, I have no doubt. None.
All right. These next questions have to do with domestic issues. I believe that leadership is stewardship, not ownership. And for a few years, you're asking us to place the stewardship of our freedom and our security and our economy and the environment, everything, into your hands. So here I have about 500 questions in this category. The first one is on the courts. Which existing Supreme Court justices would you not have nominated?
With all due respect, Justice Ginsburg, Justice Breyer, Justice Souter, and Justice Stevens.
Why? Tell me why.
Well, I think that the President of the United States has incredible responsibility in nominating people to the United States Supreme Court. They are lifetime positions, as well as the federal bench. There will be two or maybe three vacancies. This nomination should be based on the criteria of proven record of strictly adhering to the Constitution of the United States of America and not legislating from the bench. Some of the worst damage has been done by legislating from the bench. And by the way, Justices Alito and Roberts are two of my most recent favorites, by the way. They really are. They're very fine. And I'm proud of President Bush for nominating them.
All right, let's talk about the role of faith-based organizations. There was a recent poll that came out, said over 70% of Americans believe that faith-based organizations do a better job at community services.
Because Americans are right.
Than the government. you know, addictions, homelessness, poverty, all of these prisoner rehab, things like that. Now, the Civil Rights Act of 1964